31 and 32 and wait for me there. This is indeed a great pleasure to be preaching here at Patrick City. That's what we usually call it. I think it's now changed to Patrick Gardens. But this place brings back a lot of memories. Like Brother Mitchell said, I was a little picnic when I started coming here. I remember back when we have the small building, that's what we call it, the small building. And we were growing at a pace where when we have a big crowd, we'll put all the little picnic them up front. Those of us who can remember that, you're coming from way back. And I was one of the little picnic that would have to give up my seat to go up front because I was a little picnic. Right, Sister Dar? Right. And so that's how far back I'm coming from. And I remember when we were building this building and we were filling up this pulpit area, we had to use wheelbarrow to bring the sand in. And I was one of them who was, you know, bringing my wheelbarrow sand to make this pulpit. You know, and it so happened that at this moment, God has made it possible that I'm able to preach on this pulpit that I helped to construct. I also remember when I graduated from Kingston College. You all know Kingston College? I know some of you shaking your head. That's all right. We are now the president champion, Manning Cup champions after 32 years. Amen. Yeah, when I graduated from Kingston College, I was sitting right behind Fabian right there. And Brother Mitchell announced that Brother Hyde graduated from Kingston College. He said, "What are you going to do now, Brother Hyde?" I said, "I want to be a preacher like you." And today, God has granted that privilege for me to be a preacher like Brother Mitchell. I'm indeed happy and grateful to be a preacher like Brother Mitchell. You all here have a great preacher. You all, let me say that again. You all have a great preacher. And I am very privileged to say that I sat at his feet. And I've learned the gospel at Brother Mitchell's feet. Like Paul says, I learned from Gamaliel. I learned at Brother Mitchell's feet. And the good thing about that is that Brother Mitchell is such a man of God where his influence have touched many people in the world. I became a preacher because of, like I said, influence from Brother Mitchell. And I've been preaching all over the place. So wherever I preach, Brother Mitchell preached. And I was privileged to preach in Ghana, in Africa. So Brother Mitchell preached in Africa. You know, I remember when I went to the pulpit and I was preaching. When I started, the guy who interpreted, because they don't speak, or they all don't speak English. Matter of fact, they speak different dialect than over there. So the guy who was interpreting, when I started preaching, he looked at me like this. And then the next time I was preaching, there was another guy that interpreted. And he said to the guy, "I hope you can handle this, man. This is a powerhouse." So, you know, that all came from Brother Mitchell here. So I'm happy to be a part of this work. Matter of fact, I encourage all the young men who are coming up now. I'm encouraged to see the different members here who are still remain faithful. And I've seen new folks, new faces. And I'm encouraged by the work here. Continue to do it. The Lord's work needs to continue. But as for me, myself, my family, we're living over there in Florida since 1997. I left here January 97, August of 97, I went to the Florida School of Preaching, spent 2 years there, and I'm now preaching at a congregation over there in Auburndale. We're about 40, 45 members. My kids are all grown. I'm an empty nester. Still have my youngest one at home, Jody, 20. She says she ain't going anywhere. She's not leaving her mama cooking, so she's still at home. Mom, the one that follows her, which is Lori, she married to Forrest. I can't call her last name. Antimus Serious, something like that. Those of you on Facebook might see it. But before she married him, he was an atheist. Didn't believe in God, didn't want to hear anything about God, don't care if there was a God. And then one day he met Lori. Met her at school, they both went to school together. And he met Lori one day, and Lori make it plain to him that, look, if we're going to go anywhere, you know, let's go to church. Come, let me show you the God that I worship. And she took him to church. And he came and he listened and he asked questions. As time go by, he asked questions. And he had study. Next thing you know, he was baptized. A few months after that, he was still in high school. They said, what do you want to do, Forrest? I want to go to the Florida School of Preaching. He went to Florida School of Preaching. And now he's a preacher. Not only is he a preacher, but he has gone to a Free Ottoman College up in Tennessee. He has gotten his bachelor degree in religion. And now he's studying towards his master's in religion. And he's going towards his doctorate. He said he wants to be a doctor. So, you know, the Word of God is powerful. Word of God is powerful. But all of that came from here, Patrick City. And it's good to be back. I've always wanted to preach here at Patrick City in this pulpit that I built. I've always wanted to preach in this pulpit that I built. And like we say so many times, nothing happened before the time, right? Nothing happened before the time. So if you all have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke. The chapter is 22. Luke chapter 22. We're going to commence reading at verse number 31. If you got it, brother, go ahead.
And the Lord said.
And the Lord said.
Simon, Simon.
Simon, Simon.
Behold.
Behold.
Satan hath desired to have you.
Satan hath desire to have you.
That he may sift you as wheat.
That he may sift you as wheat.
But I have prayed for thee.
But I have prayed for thee.
That thy faith fail not.
That thy faith fail not.
And when thou art converted.
And when thou art converted,
strengthen thy brethren.
Strengthen thy brethren. Amen. As this verse started out, first it tells us who was speaking. Verse 31, it says, and the Lord said. There is no mistake. There is no misidentity. Who is talking? The scripture tells us that what? The Lord said. You see, folks, when Jesus starts talking, we need to start listening. The scripture tells us the Lord said. What did the Lord say? Simon. Simon. You see, I remember way back in the days, our preacher said to us that repetition was a form of emphasis. Our preacher said that to us. I still remember it. Repetition is a form of emphasis. God, Jesus here said, Simon, Simon. Look, if you didn't hear me call you the first time, let me call you again. Fabian, Fabian, read the scripture.
And the Lord said.
And the Lord said.
Simon, Simon.
Simon, Simon.
Behold.
Behold.
Satan hath desired to have you.
Hold a second there. When the Lord says, behold, this is serious stuff. He's saying, watch out. He's saying, I have something to tell you that you don't know. Behold. I have some news for you, Simon. Simon, Simon, behold.
Satan hath desired to have you.
Satan Satan had desire to have you.
Hold a second, brother.
If Jesus Christ is talking, we should listen. Yes. When Jesus Christ called your name twice, he wants your attention. When he calls your name twice and he says, "Behold," he's saying, "Watch out."
Yeah.
When he calls your name twice and said, "Behold," and then after that comes Satan, man, open your eyes and look.
Yeah.
Satan had desire to have you that he may sift you like wheat. As we look at this word, right? You know what? I'm going ahead of myself. Simon. Let's look at Simon for a while here. Who is Simon? Brother, get for me Matthew chapter 16. Let's start at verse number 13. Let's do some background check. Because when we preach, we want to make sure that our preaching is understood. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13 following. What it says.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?"
Read.
And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist." Some Elias.
Some say that you're Elias.
And others Jeremiah.
And others even say, "Lord, that you're Jeremiah,
or
a weeping prophet."
Or one of the prophets.
Read.
He said unto them.
Then he said to them.
But whom say ye that I am?
But whom do you say that I am?
And Simon Peter answered and said. Thou art the Christ. The Son of the living God.
But my Father who was in heaven. Do you know that up until that time nobody knew that Jesus was the Son of God? They knew he was the Messiah. The prophets prophesied of Jesus, the Messiah coming. But the prophets always prophesy of God's word. So they thought, yeah, a Messiah is coming. It's coming from God. But they did not know he was Son of God. Let's look at this some more. When Peter said, "You are the Son of God." Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 38. Somebody get for me Mark 15, verse 39.
Which was the son of Enos,
which
was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God.
Okay, get for me now Mark 15, 39. Mark 15, verse 39. I hear the Bible page turning. That's very encouraging. Read.
And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out,
read.
And gave up the ghost,
he said,
"Truly this man was the Son of God."
So you see, after Jesus died, that's when they're realizing that this was the Son of God. They didn't know that. That's why they crucified him. Because he was the Son of God. And as a matter of fact, they crucified him because he said he was the Son of God. And they crucified him because he said he was the Son of God. And as far as they're concerned, if you say you're the Son of God, you're blaspheming. So they crucified him. Look at Matthew 27, verse 54. Matthew 27, verse 54.
Now when the centurion
and
they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God.
You see, they're just discovering this after he died, when they saw what was happening. But Peter Peter, when Jesus came and said, Simon, Simon, the devil, behold, the devil, Satan, have desire to have you. When Simon Peter said to Jesus, you are the Son of God. This is something that was not told to anybody else. As a matter of fact, turn with me to Mark 3, verse number 12. Mark chapter 3, verse number 12. Let's look at something right here. Mark chapter 3, verse number 12.
And he straightly charged them.
Start at 11, please. 11.
And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him.
Read.
And cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God.
Read.
And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known.
Do you notice that the unclean spirit, which is the devil, they knew who he was. So what the devil was doing, he was trying to cheat. It was time for them, nobody knew he was the Son of God. Yeah. So Jesus was saying to them, hey, don't tell nobody who I am. Because they knew that Jesus was the Son of God. So when Peter came out and said, look, you are the Son of God. Jesus said, behold, flesh and blood. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven.
Yeah.
You see, when the devil desired to have Peter, there's a reason why he desired Peter. Remember he tried at Jesus? Remember when Jesus, after Jesus was baptized, the devil said, hey, come with me, man. And he take him out into the desert, that desert place. And said, if thou be the Son of God. You see, he knew he was. If thou be the Son of God, command these to turn into bread. But when the devil said that to you, what did he do? Behold, the scripture said.
Yeah.
He went to the word. You see, folks, when the devil come at us,
yeah.
Go to the word.
Amen.
Go to the word. Thus say the Lord. So when he went to Jesus, he couldn't get Jesus. He decided, let's go at the next person that is going to, next to Jesus. Who was that? Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, the devil desires thee to sift thee like wheat. Simon, Bar-Jonah there is the son of. Simon, the son of Jonah. Now, as we look further in this verse, go back over to our verse and Luke chapter 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon,
behold,
Satan had desire. We said, Jesus, how do you know this? Satan had desire to
have you.
Fabian, get for me Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 12. Simon, Satan had desire to have you. You see, Jesus knew this. And because he knew this, he was telling it to Simon.
Satan desired to have you. What is Job? What is Job chapter 1, verse 6 say?
No, there was a day.
There was a day.
When the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord.
Read.
And Satan came also among them.
Read.
And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou?
Yeah.
Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
Read.
And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job?
Have you considered my servant Job? You see, Satan was going about the world trying to find who he could take over to himself. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? Read.
That there is none like him in the earth.
There is none like him in the earth. Read, brother.
A perfect and an upright man.
Mm-hmm.
One that feareth God.
Read.
And escheweth evil.
Read.
Then Satan answered the Lord and said.
Satan answered the Lord and said. Read.
Doth Job fear God for naught?
Does Job fear God for naught?
Hast thou not made an hedge about him?
Have thou not made an hedge about him? Read.
And about his house.
And about his house.
And about all that he hath on every side.
And about Rehoboam.
And thou hast blessed the work of his hands. And his substance is increased in the land.
Read.
But put forth thine hand now. Mm-hmm. And touch all that he hath.
Read.
And he will curse thee to thy face.
Read.
And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, mm-hmm. all that he hath is in thy power.
Read.
Only upon him put not forth thine hand.
Stop there, brother. Folks, Satan went before God. And Satan said, God says, do you consider my servant Michael? And Satan said, yeah, I see him. But you know what, God? Michael is faithful to you because you have an edge around him. Do you consider my servant Fabian? Yeah, consider him, Lord. Consider him. But you see, you have a hedge around Fabian. Do you consider my servant, Brother Mitchell? Yeah, I see, but you have an edge around him. You know what, folks? As long as you stay with God, God has a hedge around you. Do you know that Satan cannot come in that area unless he gets permission? Do you know that Satan cannot touch God's people unless he gets permission? How did Jesus knew that Satan have a desire for Peter? He asked permission. He asked permission. And God said, yeah, go ahead. Peter, I know you ain't going to do nothing. Yeah, you can't get Peter. Folks, the devil... Peter chapter 3 verse 5 continuing. The devil is like a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 through 10. The devil is like a what? A roaring lion. Going about the world seeking whom he can devour. But you see, folks, when he finds some folks that he wants, you know what he has to do? He has to ask permission. And unless he gets permission, he cannot touch you. If we stay with God, folks, if we hold to God's unchanging hand, the devil cannot touch you. Let me give you an example here. Fabian, you have a car outside. If I want to drive your car, I have to ask permission, right? Unless you said, here's the key, Brother Hyde, I can't touch your car, right? But if that car belonged to me, do I have to ask permission? Let me tell you something. There are some people in the world that the devil don't have to ask permission to use. There are some people in the world, brothers and sisters, that the devil do not have to ask permission to use them, to do whatever he wants with them. We wonder, why is this happening to me? Why is all these people doing this to me? The devil has some servants that he don't have to ask permission, and he can tell them to do what he wants. And they'll go and do it. But for you and I who are Christians, he must get permission. Because God has an edge around us. And he cannot touch us unless he gets permission. As we move on. As we read verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan our desire. But if we look at the word to have, it's in italics. And it means that the interpreters put it there so they think in a read or flow a little bit better. But look at this. Read it without the to have. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan our desire you. Folks, you ever want something? Just want something, you know. When I came yesterday, when I flew in to the airport, I wanted some juicy patty. I want some juicy patty. I'm going to have to have some patty, some chicken patty. I want it. My mind was on it. You know. That was just a want. But desire is an upgrade from want. Desire is a stronger want. Desire means I have to get that. Desire means I will do whatever it takes to get that. Desire means that me getting what I want is of great importance to me. The devil desire you, Simon. And Jesus knew this, and Jesus was telling Simon that the devil is out to get him. And look at this now. The devil wants you, but what does he want you for? What does he want you for? The devil wants you to do what? To do something good? No. He wants you that he may do what?
Sift you
as wheat. Now, let's find out how does this sift like wheat come into play? You see, back in the days when they plant wheat, you remember the passage that said, let the wheat and the tear grow together until harvest, and then you'll separate them, and the wheat will for good use, and the rest will burn. Look at this now. When they do the separation, they put it in a container with a sieve under the bottom, and they'll shake it, vigorously shake it. And they'll shake it, and it will beat against the side and against the mesh, and the wheat will separate and fall into the container. But in that shaking and that sifting, there's a lot of things going on there. And you see, that's what the devil wants to do with Peter. He wants to shake him. He wants to beat upon him. He wants to tear him down. He wants to, you know, make sure when he's done with him, he's nothing. You see, folks, when you go through all these trials, when you go through all these temptations, the devil desires to get you. When you go through all these problems, don't leave the church. The devil has a desire to get you. He's sifting you like wheat. But you know, folks, if you don't go through that sifting, the wheat will not separate. So going through that sifting is a blessing to me and you. Because that's how we become useful to God. You have to go through that sifting. Folks, be not afraid when you are called upon to go through that sifting. Just remember, wherever God takes you, His grace is already there. Wherever God takes you, His grace is already there. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 13. Read for me if you find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Tell me what that says.
There is no temptation.
There is no temptation.
Taken you. But such as is common to man. But God is faithful.
But God is able.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able to bear. But will
what with the temptation
also make a way
also
to escape.
Make a way that, for you to escape.
That he may be able to bear it.
Look at this. God, whatever temptation you're going through, whatever misery in life, whatever trouble in life, God already make a way for you. God already make a way for you, Fabian. Whatever the devil want to do to you, God already make a way for you to escape and bear it. Because you know what? When you come through all of this, when you're done with all this temptation, when you're done with all this problem, when you come through, you're going to be shining. And you're going to be useful to God.
Amen.
That's what temptation is for. That's what suffering is for. To make you strong. Don't leave the church. Don't leave the church. You see. When you think about the sifting of the wheat, you know, you knock on the left side and you shake it again. You're all the way over to the right side, to the front, to the back, and you're tossing and turning all around. That's making you strong. And as Christians, when you're going through all this trouble, you know, a lot of folks have said, brother, you don't know what I'm facing. You know what, brother? I don't know what you're facing. You're right. Sister West said, brother, hi, you don't know what I'm going through. You're right. I don't know what you're going through. But I know the Lord will take you through it. You're going to go through all that trouble only to leave the Lord? You see, folks, the story was told to me one day. I'm sure you all hear it here before. A little boy was told with his grandfather, when bird hunting. And his grandfather was shooting ducks. Grandfather said to him, son, don't go after the ones that are not moving. Go after the ones that are moving. Leave the ones that are not moving. Leave them right there. So the little boy went and he saw one moving. He grabbed them. Bring them to his grandfather. Grab them. Bring them to the grandfather. Then he came to the grandfather and said, Grandpa, why don't you want me to get the ones that are not moving? Grandpa said, son, the ones that are not moving, we already have those. They're not going anywhere. But the ones that are moving, they'll get away. You see, folks, the devil goes after those who are moving. So if there's temptation in your life today, if there's problems in your life, if there's suffering in Jesus' word, guess what? It's the devil going after you. The devil is going after you, folks. He has asked permission so he can go in this edge area to mess with us. But we must be strong because the devil is out to get us. Let's look at some more. The devil had desired, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But verse 32, but, you notice after wheat, we see what there? A colon, which tells us that whatever come after, you know, it's going to have some connection to what's before it. But look, you know, what comes after that colon is, but, when Jesus is talking, and he said the devil is desired to have you, to sift you like wheat, that but is a good but, folks. The devil desire you, but I prayed for you. But I prayed for you. When Jesus prayed for you, remember earlier we said he was the son of who? He was the son of God. Many of us have children. Many of us are children of parents. When you have a child and that child make a request of you, do you tell them no? If they ask you for food, do you give them a serpent? You give them what they want, right? Well, Mr. Devil, here is the Son of God making a request of his Father. You see the connection? When Jesus prays for you, folks, you have nothing to worry about. You see, God will let the devil come at you, but when he prayed for you, the devil can't touch you. When Jesus goes down on his knees and prayed. Remember in the garden of Gethsemane? When the scripture tells us that when he prayed, his sweat was like drops of blood. When this man prayed, folks, he prayed. But you know what? You know what? In John chapter 17, verse 20, following, the scripture tells us that what? It says, neither pray I for these alone. Read it for me, brother. John 17, 20. John chapter 17, verse number 20. Let's look at this a little bit.
Neither pray I. For these alone.
For these alone. So he's not praying just for his disciples. Read some more.
But for them also. Which shall believe on me. Through their word.
You know who that is, folks? That's me and you. That's me and you. So Jesus did not just pray for Peter. Jesus did not pray for these alone. He prayed for you and me. The devil cannot touch us because Jesus prayed for us. Stay in the church, folks. Stay in the church. Stay in that area of protection that God left us in. When we get out of that area of protection, when we go outside the hedge, the devil will get us. And then guess what? He don't have to ask permission. Just think right now of so many of our members that were once sitting at these pews and they're not here no more. The devil had a desire to get them. And what we see happening is that when the devil has that desire and we allow him to go through with that desire and he gets us, we're gone. We're gone, folks. No more protection. Stay in the church. Stay in the church and Jesus will protect you. Continue to pray for you. You know. But I have prayed for thee. Notice that Jesus did not say, I'm going to pray for you. Right? As soon as Jesus had knowledge of this devil boy want to come get Peter, he prayed, he talked to his father about him. But I have prayed for you. That means, look, it's a done deal. Don't worry about it, Peter. Go through it. But when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. I got you, Peter. I got you. The devil desired to get Peter. If we read further in the verse, when Peter sat by the fire and was warming himself, and this damsel come and said, hey, weren't you one of them? Oh, no, I don't know that man. Then somebody come and say, you were one of them. You're a Galilean. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? I know that man. Then a little after that, somebody came back to Peter. Same chapter. This was indeed one of what was with him. Jesus, Peter got up and looked, man, look, you all need to leave me alone. I don't know that man. And right away the cock crow and Jesus looked at him. And Peter remembered. But you notice when Judas realized what he did, and he was sorrowful of what he did, he took back the 30 pieces of silver and gave back to the high priest and said, look, I have messed with innocent blood. And he gave them to him and they said, no, we don't want this money. He went and he did what? Hang himself. But Peter, when he betrayed Christ, Peter said, you know what, man? I'm done with this Christ thing, man. I'm going fishing. So Peter said, I'm going fishing. So from that we said, the devil almost got him. But remember in Acts chapter 2, when the disciples was gathered in Jerusalem, and who stood up? Peter. On the day of Pentecost. It was Peter. Remember the book of Peter, when Peter wrote those, the devil is like a roaring lion. He's talking from experience. And you and I get strength from the writings of Peter. You and I get strength from Peter, encouragement of Peter. Peter fell down when Christ was being crucified. But he was the one that preached the first gospel message. The first gospel message was preached by Peter. Peter said, you with wicked hands crucified him. And they were pricked in the heart. Said, men and brethren, what must we do? About 3,000 was baptized that same day because of Peter. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You see, folks, when the devil come at us, there are times when our faith will fail. Amen? When the devil comes at us, our faith will fail. But you know the bad thing, you know, it's all right when your faith fail. But look at this now. You know, many of us know this with cars and all of that. If your brake fail, what do? You throw away the car? You fix it. So I'm looking for you. Fix it, right? If your engine fail, you fix it. If your roof leak, you fix it. When something fail, you fix it. Brethren, when our faith fail, fix it. God has prepared a way for us to fix our faith. Use it. Use that way that God prepared to fix our faith. There are times, folks, when we get in some difficulty, some places, that we need our faith to be fixed. You know what? Let me tell you this morning. I stopped by to let you know that Jesus is in the faith-fixing business. He can fix our faith. Let us not walk around like it's business as usual. Let us walk around like we have been wheat that has been sifted and we need fixing. My Jesus is ready this morning to fix your faith. When you're converted, strengthen. When you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. As we move on, get for me, brother. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12.
Yea.
Read.
And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Brother, you read that fast. A lot of people didn't hear what you say. Yea. Yea.
And all that will live godly in
Christ. Hold a second, Fabian. Did the pastor say some?
And all.
He said all. All
that will live
godly, that will live
godly in Christ Jesus,
in Christ
shall
not maybe shall suffer
persecution.
I have a question for you, folks. Are you living godly? Are you living in Christ? Then I stop by to tell you, you shall suffer persecution. But you know what? The shame is not in suffering persecution. The shame is when you're suffering persecution and that persecution take you away from God and you don't come back. Read it again, brother.
Yea. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Folks, we are going to suffer persecution. If you live in this world, if the devil is still working like he once did, like Peter said, he's going like a roaring lion and he's seeking all of us. You are going to go through persecution. But you know what? Jesus prayed for you. Jesus prayed for you, folks. Don't leave the church. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on the God that we love. Because if we do, like Peter said, where shall we go, Lord? Where shall we go? Because once we leave that edge of protection, once we leave that protective area, we have no protection. Do you see that? Our final passage and we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Finally, start reading of verse number 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Read.
By the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Timothy, our brother.
Read.
Unto the church of God which is at Corinth. With all the saints which are in all Achaia.
Okay, read.
Grace be to you and peace
grace
from God.
Grace be to you. Read.
From God to our Father.
Verse 3.
From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts.
Hold a second there. Our God is the Father of what?
Mercies.
Mercies. Do you need God mercy this morning? Because that's the only God that is the God of mercy. If you're in need of God mercy, as we sit here this morning, as we worship God, if you're in need of God mercy, then there's an avenue to get to God to get that mercy. You see, a lot of folks want to tell us how God wants us to come to Him. Oh, God requires, without even knowing what God said. There's a lot of folks who have said, just stay right where you are and put your hand on the radio and say this prayer and you'll be saved. That's not God's mercy. What is it that thus say the Lord? Because as Christians, we worship God in spirit and in truth. What is truth? You see, a lot of folks don't want to know what truth is. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. But you know what, folks? There is a way. That way is revealed in God's word. Jesus said, come unto me, all you are labored, and I will give you rest. Verse number 4 of 2 Corinthians.
Who comforteth us?
Who do what?
Who comforteth us?
Who comforteth us
in all our tribulation?
You see, the scripture is plain, folks. Whatever tribulation that faces you, our God will do what?
Comfort
us. Not some tribulation. All our tribulation. Amen. Who comfort us in all our tribulation. Read.
That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble.
Now, look. There's a reason God comfort us in tribulation. He comfort us in tribulation so we might turn around and comfort our brother. Not push him down. Not look down on him. Do whatever you can to bring him comfort. That's what Christianity is all about. There's no need for us to be looking down on a brother who is in a fault. Comfort him. Because we are comforters. Because our Father is the God of comfort. And if we are sons of God, then we are sons of comforter. We're supposed to comfort each other. Bear one another burden. Scripture tells us. Read some more, Fabian.
Who that comfort we may be us. Able to comfort them which right? are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
Verse 5.
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation
and
salvation.
Well, read.
Which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. For whether we be comforted, it is for our consolation and salvation.
Stop there for a while. Folks, do you see in this verse how salvation is based on consolation, suffering, comfort? But you see, a lot of folks in the world, they'll want to tell you that if God exists, why is it that this person is going through all of this? If God exists, why did he let the little baby die in such a manner? If God, you see, they don't know the God we serve. They don't know the God we serve. Folks, hold to God's unchanging hand. It is a blessed thing to be a Christian. It is a blessed thing to us Christians, we're able to call on a God when we fall into divers trouble, divers temptation. The devil is alive today, and he's well, and he does his job well. So you know what, brothers and sisters? The devil is going to say, here, brother, I got something for you. Yeah, you're going to want to follow and go after it. But when you go after it, just remember, you're God. You know, another thing I want to point out in this verse is that, do you remember when Peter denied Christ? When Peter said, I don't know this man, 3 times. You remember when Jesus looked at him? And Peter realized, but you know that Jesus did not hold this against Peter. You know that? Do you notice that Jesus in his mind says, look, you see after I'm gone, that same man over there that denied me 3 times, he's going to be my head cornerstone. Jesus said, you know, you're all here trying to kill me. A little while from now, the day of Pentecost, that same man, he's going to preach the word. He's going to tell us what you all just did.
That's what Jesus was saying in his mind. He said, folks, we didn't leave the church. When you fall, when temptation comes knocking at your door, and you let go of God's unchanging hand, He still loves you. He still loves you. You know what? He's got a plan for you. Jesus has a plan for you. Yeah. If you're here this morning, you have heard the word. If you're subject to temptation, we're about to sing a song, a verse of a song. Just remember, the devil is our defense. For also, above that, like the brother said earlier, make sure you take something from this lesson. Above that, take this with you this morning. Whenever you're in any suffering, temptation, tribulation, Jesus is there with you. And He's there to take you through. The devil can't touch you, folks. We are untouchable in the sight of the devil. We are the only one who can make the devil take us. You're here this morning. You're not a member of the Lord's church. You're not protected by that edge. You can be this morning. As a matter of fact, I advise you. I beg you, I beseech you, like the brother Paul would say. I beseech you, do not leave here not being a member of the Lord's church. Because not being a member of the Lord's church means that the devil can use you any which way he pleases. But Jesus Christ said, I came, I died, and I've gone to prepare a place for you. And I want you to be there with me and my Father. You've heard His word, you need to believe. Are you willing to turn from sin, to turn from the world, to repent of your sin, to confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized, Galatians 3:27, and be put into the church to be a member of the church of Christ? Are you willing to do that? Those of us who are members, who have lost our faith somewhere or the other, God, like I said, He's in the faith fix in the world. He can fix it this morning. Amen. He can fix it. He can bring you back into His fold. But a lot of us here, we are fellow comforters. We're willing to take you back into the fold. Comfort. We're about to stand and sing the verse of a song. If we're studying the invitation, don't. Come to Jesus.